Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Democratic mayoral hopeful Bill de Blasio, Democratic mayoral hopeful Bill Thompson, and people not named Bill, Daniel Jonah Goldhagen on global anti-Semitism this New Year's Eve 5774. We reveal the finalists for our Community Library Awards. And does Congress need to declare war under the U.S. Constitution? Yes, if it is a war.
The president is not asking you to go to war. He's not asking you to declare war. He's not asking you to send one American troop to war.
Secretary of State John Kerry there at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. We'll get to that. But my first guest is Democratic mayoral hopeful Bill Thompson. And this final round of candidate interviews before next week's primary is, as many of you know, our call-in round. Most of the questions will come from you, so call us up right now at 212-433-WNYC with any question you have for Bill Thompson here less than a week before the primary, 212-433-9692. Your questions for Bill Thompson, welcome right here, right now. And Mr. Thompson, first of all, I appreciate your consistent accessibility through this year. This is your fifth appearance on the program since New Year's Day. So thanks for coming on one last time before the vote.
It's my pleasure, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And again, listeners, Bill Thompson now, Bill de Blasio later, here mostly for your questions at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And while the calls are coming in, I'll ask you a few things and to point to the decision point that I guess many people are at. Why would you make a better mayor than Bill de Blasio?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, Brian. I think if when you look at my background, first, it's an understanding of the city of New York and its people. Grandson of immigrants from the Caribbean. My parents, my mother, a New York City public school teacher. My father, a judge here in the city of New York. This city has provided opportunity for my grandparents and the chance to build and have a better life, a chance for my parents to build and have a better life, and a chance that I've had to be able to serve the people of the city of New York. I'm running to be mayor because I look at New York City as a city of opportunity, but right now it's not a city of opportunity for all New Yorkers. We're looking at too many poor New Yorkers who are barely able to put food on the table, too many middle-class working New Yorkers who are struggling to get by. So I want to make this a city of opportunity again for all New Yorkers in each and every community. And with my background experience in government as deputy borough president in Brooklyn, president of the New York City Board of Education, comptroller of the city of New York, all of that together, I believe it's probably the best qualified person to be the next mayor of the city of New York. That's why that I think I would make a better mayor than anyone else.
Now, de Blasio's rise, by all accounts, is attributable partly to his running as the most liberal candidate in the top tier, and the TV commercial featuring his biracial son, Dante, elevating his credibility among black voters. You have recently started emphasizing your Caribbean and Bed-Stuy roots more than before. Do you want to make an appeal directly to African-American and Caribbean-American voters here today?
Well, I think I've over the years have made that appeal. I've never hidden my background and have spoken about it before. And you talk about Bed-Stuy roots, that's where I grew up. And that's where I've lived for most of my life. I live in Harlem right now, but I lived in Bed-Stuy for most of my life. So I've always talked about that and my background and where I live and where I've come from. And I think that in reaching out directly to black and Caribbean voters, you're not just going to be able to do that during a campaign. It has been reaching out and working with in those communities. I mean, I'm black. I'm with Caribbean roots. Those are the neighborhoods I've always worked in and reached out to. So when you look at issues of education, when you look at affordable housing, when you talk about jobs, those are all issues that impact the black community. When you talk about policing and safety, those are issues that affect the black and your Caribbean American communities. So I would say it isn't just reaching out on the phone right now or on the air. It's been reaching out over a period of years and all the things I've done through my life.
All right. Our lines are full with people who want to ask questions. My guest, mayoral hopeful Bill Thompson. As people finish up, you can get in at 212-433-WNYC. Meanwhile, you can post your questions. We'll also be looking at our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show and our Twitter feed at Brian Lehrer. But right now, Renee in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Renee.
Hi. Bill, thank you for taking my call. Bill, this is a question that's for you. I'm a city worker, been working for the Department of Transportation for 24 years. We haven't had a contract in 7 years. I want to know what are you going to do about city workers and the contract and the retroactive back pay as well.
Okay, thanks for the question, Renee. There are a few things. Look, we're at this point right now where almost every city worker is without a contract. By the end of this year, every city worker, their contracts will have expired. And the mayor has allowed this. Mike Bloomberg has let us get in this situation. And I've termed it an incredible act of irresponsibility. That said, as the next mayor, there are a few things I'm going to do. Number one, where are we fiscally? Where's the city? We were ahead of revenue this year. Where are we going to be next year? So I think that's number one. First, understanding where we are at dollar-wise. Secondly, there are hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts that have been outsourced over the years. Bloomberg administration is outsourcing clerical help these days. We need to get out of those contracts, bring those dollars back in-house. And then finally, take a look across the city, in the agencies. There have been cuts over the years, but in some cases, commissioners are protected pet programs. Let's see what's worked, what hasn't worked, bring those dollars back in-house, and then sit at the table with union leadership across the city of New York and negotiate contracts. And I think it is important that everyone be at the table, be able to see where the money is, and then we can work together to come up with contracts, because I believe, we have the greatest municipal workforce in the country, and we need to make sure that, that at the same point, they're given the raises that they need, at the same point that we also protect the citizens as far as fiscal stability. So we need to do both. We need to respect our workforce, and at the same point, we need to make sure that we protect our taxpayers, and I believe we can do that.
This came up in the debate last night on Channel 4, where I think the moderators were reflecting the frustration of a lot of people that almost none of you, certainly none of the three of you in what's considered the top tier, would say what kind of contract negotiations you would engage in with the public sector unions with this huge bill hanging over the city. I think the Times framed it as a potential fiscal crisis or something on the editorial page yesterday. And you all say you don't want to negotiate in public, which is understandable on the one hand, and yet the public has no way to compare the three of you on this particular vital question.
No, I know it's a difficult thing, but at the same point, I think we've seen discussions before, contract negotiations, that once it starts to get out in the public, that it takes on a life of its own, that there's a back and forth that really isn't productive. And I think in the end, I think that the city's, city's workers want to make sure that they have contracts. And I think the best way to get that done is to have those conversations in private. And I know it's difficult for the public. At the same point, I think I've always shown myself to be fiscally responsible, and I'm not going to wind up putting the city in a fiscal hole to be able to get contracts done. At the same point, we do have to get those contracts done. So I just think it is. I know that people may be a little concerned and not more specific. I've tried to be specific in so many other areas. This one is a little hard to do that.
David in Queens, you're on WNYC with Bill Thompson. Hello, David.
Yeah, good morning, Bill, and I want to say congratulations on running for mayor of the city of New York as a West Indian. We're proud of you. But I got concerns. The first time you ran for mayor, I voted for you, and so did a lot of West Indians and a lot of black Americans and everybody else. And you basically had Michael Bloomberg on the ropes. He was basically in the grave. And you didn't challenge him regarding the vote count. You just walked away. You capitulated, and I want to know why.
You mean David? You mean he should have demanded a recount?
His question is, why should I vote for you again?
Well, the first thing is, number one, I lost that election. It was a close election. At the same point, it was about 50,000 votes. It was 4.5%. And what we do is to take a look at any irregularities. Also, people need to understand there is an automatic. They go back in and do a revote, or not a revote, but they'll take a review of the votes. So not to challenge them, and we gave a lot of thought to that, but it wasn't close enough to be able to challenge. It was 4.5 percentage points. So the truth is, your vote was not wasted. Your vote was counted. Vote was important, and that's what the I came so close in that election. So I would say it again. If you saw that we came close in the last election, we can get it done this time. We just need you to come out and vote, David. And, you know, I said the last time it was close. But if you also remember, no one gave us a chance. Nobody said that I had a chance of winning that election. If you look at the TVs, the radios, all the pollsters, people wrote me off. And it was people knocking on doors, volunteering and having faith and coming out, in spite of the fact that too many people stayed home in that election because of all of the sense of inevitability that Mike Bloomberg couldn't lose. Say, come out again this time, David. I'd appreciate your vote.
David, thank you for your call. And I think David touches on even a larger public perception about you, that to many progressives from whatever community, you're sometimes seen as a good guy but lacking fire in the belly, a quiet leader and a bridge builder to be commended, but not the change agent that many are looking for. I mentioned de Blasio has successfully positioned himself as the most liberal of the top-tier candidates. Can you argue that you would bring the passion for reform and fighting inequality that Mr. de Blasio is getting credit for?
Well, I think I would always, and I've always have brought the passion and the fire when it comes to standing up on the part of the people of the city of New York. When you go back and look over the years, I was at the Board of Education as the president of the. I took on Rudy Giuliani at the height of his power because he tried to put someone in as chancellor who I didn't feel would be in the best interest of the children of the city of New York, and I won that fight. When it came to 2001, and people thought that I was running for comptroller, and I'd never run for office before, and they thought that was an overreach. At the same point, I believed it could be done, and I put a vision forward for that office that talked about making it an office that fought for New Yorkers, and I won that election and turned that office around and made it a different office. Particularly in 2009, when no one wanted to take on Mike Bloomberg, I took on Mike Bloomberg. I brought the fight to him. I stood up to him, and as a matter of fact, almost won that election. When it comes to being an agent of change and moving the city forward, just saying it and talking about it doesn't get it done. When you want to talk about, now I'm specifically speaking about Bill de Blasio, when you look and putting a vision forward for pre-K and universal pre-K by taxing wealthy New Yorkers, I'm not against taxing wealthy New Yorkers. I supported the president when he did it. I supported the governor when he did that. But just to put a vision forward that isn't realistic doesn't make you an agent of change. Getting things done makes you an agent of change. When I was at the Board of Education, I helped to change law that had been there for decades that undermined our children. I fought to get that done. I was an agent of change. As comptroller, I fought to turn things around and make that a different office and be able to have an office that stood up and fought for New Yorkers. I was an agent of change there. So when you talk about agent of change, if you want to move New York City forward, if you want to create a different city to give people who have been shut out of City Hall and have had no voice for decades in City Hall, and now it's not just Mike Bloomberg, it's also 8 years of Rudy Giuliani, I'm the person to get that done. I've done it before. I'm happy to be proud to be an agent of change and be able to help create a different New York and a New York that serves all of its people as opposed to just the wealthy.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. We are in the call-in round of mayoral candidate appearances on the show before next Tuesday's primary in New York. Bill Thompson is with us right now. Later in today's program, Bill de Blasio will take your calls. And on Friday, we have Christine Quinn. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have one open line at the moment. And Bob in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Bob.
Hello. Thank you, Brian. Mr. Thompson, I was planning to vote for you on September 10th in the primary, but after last night, I'm switching to Anthony Weiner. I'm hoping you can clarify your position on property taxes. I'm a one-family homeowner, and under Bloomberg, the property tax has almost doubled. Now, in response to Melissa Russo's question about property taxes vis-a-vis the city contracts and retroactive pay, up until now, your campaign has said no property tax increases. But last night, you seemed to hedge on this. You didn't seem to rule it out. And Weiner is the only one who gave a definite no. Could you clarify your position for the taxes on the small homes?
Sure, I could, Bob. Number one, no, I'm not going to increase taxes or increase property taxes on homeowners. As a matter of fact, when you look, there's one person who's consistently stood up and talked about the misuse and what the administration has done with when it comes to property taxes. And I point this out to people, whether they own a home or whether they rent, they wind up paying this increase. Two things. Number one, I mentioned last night the fact that Bill de Blasio, Christine Quinn, and John Liu, because they were members of the city council, all voted to increase property taxes in this city by 18.5%. But more than that, when I was comptroller, I pointed out the inconsistencies in what was occurring in these backdoor taxes, also to homeowners. Water rates that have gone up double digits over the years. I used to go and testify in front of the water board and point out how we were being ripped off, how they were going up 12, 13, 14%. In fact, to fully fund that system, it probably needed to go up about 4% a year. Another backdoor tax. They were taking the excess amount of money and putting it in the general fund. Assessments. I've talked about how assessments have gone up. It isn't just property taxes. It's the assessments and how how they've gone about that, almost cooking the books, playing with these numbers and inflating them artificially. You look at housing values in 2007, 8, and 9, in the middle of a recession, values went down. But at the same point, assessments went up. As I said, they're artificially manipulating that. That's another way that homeowners and also those who rent are paying more money because of this administration. And I've said I would not do that. So when it comes to property taxes, not just property taxes, when it comes to property taxes and assessments, when it comes to water rates, to things I stood up against, and no, I'm not increasing those.
Well, here's another question on taxes from Peter in Brooklyn. Hi, Peter.
Yeah. My question is, Mr. Thompson, I'm not leaning towards voting for you. The main reason is a statement I saw on the Gotham Schools website from when you were talking to Association for a Better New York in January. Mm-hmm. They quote you saying, "Let me be blunt so there's no misunderstanding. I'm not raising taxes." I mean, I think the wealthy in New York need to be paying more for our schools and other services, and not as a last resort, but right now. I think they're paying way too little on the city level as well as federal. So I want to know, did you change your position since you talked to that business group in January, and if so, why?
No, what I've said is not property taxes. Tax increases are a last resort, not first option. So I've always said you never lead with tax increases, and I still believe that. It is a last resort, not a first option. And all too often, people talk about increasing taxes on wealthy New York City residents. The city of New York can't increase taxes on their own. Have to go to Albany. And right now, it is clear Albany is indicating, particularly since they increased taxes on wealthy New Yorkers last year, and I supported the governor in that, that there's no appetite to do that right now.
That was at the state level, right? State taxes.
It was state taxes. But then again, I think the state legislature, particularly the Senate, has indicated that they're not interested in that right now. We've got to make sure, you know, so rather than talk about tax increases first, as I said, it is, you never say never, but it is a last resort, never a first option.
But I think Peter articulates one of the reasons that many people are moving to de Blasio right now, because there is this deep sense of grievance over the inequalities in the city and this deep awareness that the rich have gotten richer and the, you know, middle class has stagnated and the poor have stagnated over the last 12 years. And so when he comes on and says he's going to go to Albany and fight for that, since they have to approve that city income tax that he's proposing, Liu and Weiner are proposing similar hikes, that they look at the candidates who are not, some voters, and say, you know, come on, we do need this now.
Brian, I have never said, you know, that you're never going to increase taxes, particularly on wealthy New York City residents. At the same point, to lead with it just isn't realistic. And look, the sense of inequality in the city of New York, middle class New Yorkers are getting squeezed. Poor New Yorkers, the gap is increasing between the haves and the have-nots. And as mayor, I want to fight against that. I believe that one of the ways to be able to get that done, to be able to start to close that gap, and there are a number of different ways, I focused on education. I focused on making sure that our children are better prepared, that we make sure that our young people can either go to college and be able to succeed or the world of work with the skills that they need to be able to compete and get a good job. But just sitting back and being a demagogue and saying, you know something, let's increase taxes, and that's why you should, or the wealthy, and that's why you should vote for me, realizing that it's not going to happen right now, realizing that is not realistic in the current environment right now, is just pandering, and I'm not going to do that. So I think that the reality is a sense of inequality in the city of New York growing? You bet, and I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to make sure that we fight to get better-paying jobs in the city of New York. I'm going to fight to build more affordable housing in the city of New York and to make sure that there is more fairness so that it isn't just the wealthy who are making money, that all of us have greater opportunity in the city of New York. That's what I believe in. So it isn't just saying, let's increase taxes. If that's the sense and that's the way we're going to close the gap, then we're all going to be in trouble.
Beverly in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with mayoral hopeful Bill Thompson. Hi, Beverly.
Yes, hello. I'm the director of the Equal Pay Coalition of New York City. We're 50 groups working on pay equity and economic equity for women. We're going to be releasing our questionnaire from our candidate questionnaire. We haven't gotten your answers yet, Candidate Thompson. So could you please briefly share, how will you close the wage gap for women in New York City and create a more economically fair place for women and their families to work and live?
Beverly, by the way, give me the name of your organization again, because I'll make sure that the questionnaire gets in there today.
Okay. It's the Equal Pay Coalition of New York City.
The Equal Pay Coalition. Okay, I'll make sure that that questionnaire gets in today. But
that's
at the same point, there are a number of things that I'd like to do. I think, in first, our, some of our city agencies, it's looking across. I mean, give you an example. When you talk about equal pay, those who are working in schools as safety agents within the schools, you've noticed the women there have brought a suit because they're being paid 70% of what the men are being paid. And that's just for doing the same job. Well, that's something that you'd want to correct. Looking across the city, people first, working for the city of New York, doing the same job but not getting the same pay. It's a question of making sure that that does happen and that does occur. It's city government and our EEO and making sure that we're doing the job there. But it's also, what type of jobs are we creating? Those who are doing business with us, where's the equity there? Making sure that that equity exists. If you're working and doing business with the city of New York, what are you paying to the men who work for you, but what are you paying to the women? So make sure that there is fairness, equity there. I've also talked about making sure when it comes to minority and women-owned businesses, growing those businesses in the city of New York. If you look at the state, right now the state of New York and the governor are attempting to get to 20% of the business that they do with minority and women-owned firms. It was something I was a champion of when I was in the comptroller's office. I made sure that a number of firms, minority and women-owned firms, had the opportunity to do business with the city of New York on the fiscal side. I'd want to make sure that if the state can get to 20%, we can do at least that. And I've helped to champion that with the governor. We can do that in the city of New York and create that greater opportunity for women entrepreneurs to be able to grow their businesses. And in just using the tools of government, using my agencies to make sure that there is fairness and equity, that's something I'm a strong believer in. There will be. I mean, if you go back and look when I was comptroller, so many of the people who were deputy comptrollers in positions of authority were women or also minority people. They were the best. They were the brightest. And I would want to continue that and send that message out also as the next mayor in my commissioners and deputy mayors.
Beverly, thank you so much for your call. And Tom in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Bill Thompson. Hello.
Yeah, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, Tom.
Just wanted to say that, let the listeners know that the Uniform Fires Association is behind you 100%.
Ah, thank you very much. Let me tell you, I've been proud to have the support in this election of the teachers, of our firefighters, of so many of New York's workers, people who really believe and are invested in making sure that we're safe or making sure that this city moves forward. So thank you again. Thanks for your call.
Tom,
Tom,
you want to say why? You can do a little electioneering here.
We backed Mr. Thompson the last time. We're hoping to settle our contracts and keep doing our job for the city.
Thank you very much.
And we feel that that we'll bargain in good faith and we'll all move forward and things will be good.
Does this mean you think the other candidates will be tougher on you?
Some of them. But like I said, we backed Mr. Thompson the last time. We liked his position and thought we'd all bargain in good faith. And like I said, we'll move forward into the future.
Thank you, Tom. Does this cut both ways, Mr. Thompson, the public sector union endorsements that you're getting at a time when all these contracts are unresolved versus, in a way, the taxpayers who might want you to bargain hard?
Well, as I said, I think that you can do both. I think that you can make sure that we respect our workforce and at the same point make sure that we protect our taxpayers. I think there are a couple of things when you look at the firefighters who have supported me over a period of time. I think that if you look at making sure that firehouses stay open and communities don't go unprotected, I've been an advocate for that. I think when you look at things like if you look at the 911 system and how that has been incredibly missed or right now, it is the extra time that delays place lives at risk. And I've been an advocate and come up with solutions to be able to expedite things, to be able to bypass the central operators and go to borough operators directly. That saves 60 to 90 seconds there. I think that's another reason the firefighters are supporting me, because they're able to do their job better and be able to get to fires as well as, you know, life-threatening situations faster. All of those things are important, and I think that those are some of the reasons that you're seeing support from New York City firefighters. I'm very proud to have their help.
And I'll mention that you've got many endorsements. Subway riders today saw the front page endorsement in AM New York. You got El Diario, the New York Observer, the Citizens Union, the law enforcement unions, the UFT, and the Board of Regents Chancellor, Merrill Tisch, who's with your campaign. And let me ask you about those education ones. Having the UFT, which is skeptical of the Bloomberg Obama-style standardized tests and their significance, and the Board of Regents Chancellor, who has helped lead the charge, how would you bridge that gap as mayor to reset the place of testing in the public schools, if you would reset it?
Well, back again, it is doing what I believe is right. And I'm, as I said, very proud to have the support of the teachers union as well as the principals union, and happy to have, you know, Merrill Tisch, the chancellor of the New York State Board of Regents, as the chair of my campaign. In the end, it's a question of always doing what I believe is right. So in this case, I've seen standardized testing start to rob our school system of content, starting to force our children into memorization. You know, if you look at the No Child Left Behind vestige, unfortunately, it has left too many children behind. So I think it is in looking at, you know, standardized testing. Are standardized testing part of school and part of what our students have to do? Yes, but not this excessive emphasis on it. I think, you know, it is forced our children to memorize. We need to be able to bring more comprehension, critical thinking into a school system so our young people are prepared. So I would say that, you know, if you look, I've made education one of the focal points, one of the foundations of this campaign. I believe it's important. I think we can bring back, you know, that focus on more of a well-rounded student. Things like art and music education need to be part of a school system again. Bringing back, you know, greater focus. Our students can't write right now. They have to be able to do that. You talk to them, you talk to young people. Geography, there have been so many things that have been sacrificed in a public school system because of this excessive focus on standardized testing. We've got to change that. If we don't, our children aren't going to be able to compete. So I don't see any in the end. It always comes down to what do you believe in? And I believe in helping to move our children forward. I believe for the more than 1 million children in the New York City public school system, we must do better. So we have to kind of push some of the standardized test focus to the side and start to bring more comprehension and critical thinking back into our school system.
Well, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you again for coming on this program and speaking to our listeners so many times during this campaign, during this year. As I said earlier, it's your fifth appearance on the show since New Year's Day. Former Comptroller Bill Thompson. We have Bill de Blasio coming up a little later in the program. We have Christine Quinn on Friday to finish up our call-in round with the mayoral hopefuls in New York City. We did the two leading Republicans, and we're on our way to having done all the five leading Democrats in the race. So I just want to give you a minute for anything you want to say. Bill Thompson, closing arguments to the WNYC audience before next Tuesday.
Brian, first thing, let me thank you. You've had me on a number of times. I've always appreciated it. And you've done a number of forums during this election season. Right. And honestly, you've gone above and beyond. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, next Tuesday's election, this is New York City at a crossroads. What direction are we going to go in? We can't go down the same path that we've been going down for the last 12 years under Mike Bloomberg that has left so many of us left out, so many of us pushed out, so many of us ignored across the city of New York. We need to go in a different direction. I want to take us in that direction. I've got the experience in the background, the understanding of the people of the city of New York, understanding we are five boroughs. And the thing that makes us the greatest city in the world is the fact that we are our boroughs, and it's the communities in those boroughs and the people in those communities that make us great. We need a mayor again who's going to represent all New Yorkers, who's going to represent all five boroughs, who knows that we have to move in a direction of coming up with better paying jobs in the city of New York and making sure we have the training to get those jobs. A mayor who understands our education system needs to go in a different direction to serve our children and create a real opportunity for the future for them. A mayor who understands that the rent is too high and we need to build new affordable housing, low, moderate, and middle-income housing across the city of New York. A mayor who understands that we have to keep New York City safe, but safety, each and every community is entitled to that safety, and we can do it and achieve it without the misuse and abuse of the way stop and frisk has been used, without giving up their constitutional rights. I'm that person. I bring a wealth of experience, a lifelong New Yorker. I bring that experience to the table and the ability to help New York City move forward and move forward together as one city. So I'd ask that everybody come out next Tuesday, September 10th. It is a day of decision for the city of New York. I'm Bill Thompson. I want to be your next mayor. Thank you so much.
Bill Thompson, thanks again. We'll talk.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have Bill de Blasio coming up to take your calls in 20 minutes. But coming up next, we reveal the finalists for our Community Library Awards. Stay tuned.